Thank you, Ms. Carolyn. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first Sunday in October service today. It's a special occasion, as noted by the table that's been prepared here in front of the altar. So, Lord willing, we'll be doing that service later on. But for now, let's sing in the gray book and sing like you mean it. Number 92, we'll start. Number 92.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out for our service this morning. Glad to have our visitors with us today. I think maybe even the first time that you've been here to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, and we are glad that y'all have made a point to be with us today. Today is a special day, as Brother Sam said earlier. This is a day in which that we will remember our Lord. The Bible tells us that when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, that he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that's going to be a special thing for us today. We ought to remember our Lord every day of our life. If nothing else, just in being thankful for Him dying for our sins. But Jesus put this in the church so that the church would not forget. I think anybody that's truly saved will always have that on their minds. But you know, it's one thing for us to not forget, but to be reminded, that's another thing. We ought to be reminded daily of things. How many of you have a problem and somebody has to remind you of something that you need to do? You know it, but you have to be reminded. So what the Lord wanted us to do was to be reminded about His sacrifice. That it wasn't just something that was, we'll say, nonchalant thing, that He just sacrificed Himself, but that He died. Not only did He die, He suffered. He suffered much pain, much agony. And what the Scripture tells us, even though that He didn't have a bone broken, His skin was broken. His heart was broken. You know how His heart was broken? Because those people didn't believe who He was. That was how He was broken. It broke His heart that His disciples left Him, even though He knew it was going to happen. You see, He was broken in that way. And that's what we're going to remember today. But the other thing was that He gave every ounce of His blood for us, that through His blood we might be saved. Oh, that ought to bring glory bumps up on us, is what that ought to do. To think that He loved us that much, that He would go through all of that we might be saved. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. As I said, it's a special day for us here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. So let's be about God's business today. Let's prepare our hearts to partake of this meal today. It's not a meal to fill us up physically. It'll be one little piece of bread, one little sip of the fruit of the vine. But what it will be is to fill us up spiritually as we remember the Lord in this day. We'll go right on with our service right now. We're going to have our children's church at this time. I think it's over here today as where we'll do it. So, children, if you'll come on. Come on, kids. Come on. Come on, Stevie. I need you up here. Any others? Oh, we're a little thin today, ain't we? It's good to see y'all up here today. Now, I'm going to ask you a question today. When you walked through the door and you saw the table sitting there, will anybody answer me as what you thought that meant? Nobody going to answer, huh? Well, I'll just tell you what I used to think. Well, today's the day for the Lord's Supper, is what it was. To me, that was, at first, it was just something they did at church. But for me, later on, it got to be something that I wanted to take part in. Now, today, who can tell me what are the two things that we'll take part in today as church members? Anybody going to tell me? Ain't nobody talking today, are you? Okay, maybe you can do this. We have unleavened bread. What does that represent? What, the body of Christ? Thank you. What about the juice that we drink, the fruit of the vine? What does that represent? The blood. Thank you again. He gets all the prizes today. Y'all missed out. The thing that it does, we're remembering the body of Jesus and the blood that He gave for us today. As you grow up, there'll be times, Ben's already been saved, and he's joined the church, and thus he gets to partake of this. Maybe you've done this at some time or another. When the plates have been passed by you, maybe you looked at them and you thought, boy, I sure would like a taste. I wonder what it tastes like. It's not meant to be something that's tasting real good, because it's showing what the Lord gave for us. And it was a bitter sorrow that he had. So with this today, you that are not saved, you that have not joined the church, I want you to look at it, because it is something to be desired, because it's something special that God put in there for us to remember him by. So keep that in mind today as you watch this being done. For Ben, he'll get to partake of this, and I'm glad he does. Anybody that has been saved and has joined the Lord's church and been baptized into that church, they are qualified to be a partake of the Lord's Supper. But for those that are unsaved, they need to watch. It's something for me that I wanted to take part in. So keep that in mind today. I'll turn you loose with that. That's going to be short and sweet today. I always am thankful for each and every one that's come this way today. And I pray that the Lord will bless each and every one that's come this way. Because it is the Lord's Supper today that we will be partaking of, this service closes different. Once that we have partaken of the of bread and of the fruit of the vine, we'll sing a song and we'll be dismissed. So I'm going to go ahead and tell our announcements now for our church. This week is the week that we observe the Joyful Hearts Dinner. What that is a dinner for our visitors. We come together and we just meet together. These usually mostly the retired people, because it's at 11 o'clock on a Friday. But if you're able to come and you're not retired, but you're able to come, please come. We'd love to have you. It's meant to be a time of fellowship, a time in which that we can all grow closer together. So that will be this Friday at 11 o'clock. We'll remind you of our services next Sunday, and to keep that upon your heart. Sunday school is at 9:30 and church is at 10:30. But next Sunday is our regular business meeting. And so keep that in mind also. Now, moving along with our service today, we want to go into a prayer request. We had several prayer requests this morning. Does anybody else have a prayer request that needs to be brought before the church at this time? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we do need to continue to remember Sister Barbara's son. She is thankful that he is doing better, and just praying that he'll continue to do well. But let's do remember her son who had surgery here. I guess it's been a week and a half ago now. So let's do remember him in our prayers. Somebody else got a prayer request? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember Sister Caller's mother, who has some problems, and let's just remember her in our prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request? Lord, help. Mm-hmm. 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 Lord help. Lord help. Let's do remember Sister Kendra's two cousins in our prayers. Somebody else? Mm-hmm. Lord help. Let's do remember Sister Nettie. I'm glad she's able to be with us today, but she has got some problems with her backbone, and we do need to remember her in our prayers. Yeah. 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 Yeah, glad to see Miss Barbara back with us too. Somebody else have a prayer request? Lord help. Yes. Lord help. Yes, ma'am. Know what you mean. Let's do remember Sister Kendra's grandchildren. I think she said 9 that were not saved. And as she said, the way the world is right now, that's something to worry about. I've got a granddaughter that's not saved, got Cohen coming along. And that's a constant thought. Constant thought, as you know, about your own grandkids, right? And we do need to be praying for our grandchildren, our children, that they'll be saved soon. Somebody else got a prayer request on your heart. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Landon. Let's get our minds where it needs to be, is what our prayer should be. Thank you. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. Remember these 3 men in prayer. I've known both the first 2 long, I guess most all my life, but I'll say remember all of them in your prayers. Let's do remember Green Valley's revival in prayer, that they'll see souls saved. Let's pray for that. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, a lot of people are going to be traveling this week, including Brother Dave and Sister Sandy. So let's do remember all of these that are traveling already. That's part of our crowd that's not here today. Let's pray that the Lord will bring them back safe, and let's just pray that God will bless. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Let's do keep Sister Barbara in our prayers. She's having a lot of health issues the last couple of weeks, but we're glad she's able to be with us today. Somebody else? We're thankful to see each and every one of you here today, especially our visitors. We thank you for being here. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I know you can't remember all of these prayer requests, but God knows them. So you just pray for. We'll say combined is what we asked you to do. But you may have a prayer on your heart. You may have a need on your heart that you didn't want to mention. God knows about it. You talk to the Lord about it, and we'll still talk to God about you is what we'll do. Let's especially remember our lost ones that are in our church that have not been saved yet. Please remember them. We're going to call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Sam, feel like you ought to lead us today, if you would.
Please remain standing for this short song, if you can indulge me. Number 195. 195. What a Savior.
Yeah.
be seated. All right, let's go back in the book a little bit here and try an old song. Number 54. There's power in the blood.
Good morning again to everyone. We are thankful for each and everyone being here today. And again, we appreciate our visitors that's come to be with us. If you consider yourself a visitor here today, just make yourself at home with us and just worship the Lord. That's what we want you to do, is worship God today in this service. I do appreciate each and every one being here. Let's remember all the prayer requests, and let's follow the Lord. We were blessed last Sunday with a good spiritual service in which that people testified, and we sang praise unto God, and that was good. Today is a different Sunday. We can't rely on last Sunday's service for today. We have to rely on the Spirit today, and we have to rely on our worship today. So let's keep that in mind today. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? Let's follow the Lord today. I'm going to take my reading lesson from John the 13th chapter. John the 13th chapter. This message is going to be different from most communion or Lord's Supper sermons. It has to do with the Lord's Supper, but it's not about the Lord's Supper. I had not intended to do this. We've been studying the doctrine of Jesus over the last few months in our Bible study, and I had intended on teaching this a couple of weeks ago. About the Lord's Supper, but it kind of got delayed, and so last Wednesday night we discussed the Lord's Supper and what it means and the different parts of it, and we had a really good study, I thought. If you do not come to our Wednesday night Bible study, come. As Brother Stewart says about Sunday school, It's important for us to know about God. You may think, well, I know all I need to know. He saved my soul. But I believe God wants you to know every part about Him. And that comes through study. And if you'll make a point to study His Word and come to His Bible studies and His Sunday schools, you'll learn a lot more about God than you realize that you ever will. So we invite you to come on our Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30. Our Sunday school is at 9:30. But this message is going to be a little bit different in this way. I made comment in our Bible study the other night, if you will pay attention to the Gospels of the Lord, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell about the Lord's Supper. The only other place that you'll find it is in the book of 1 Corinthians, when that Paul was telling the Corinthian people how that they should observe the Lord's Supper. Now, my comment was, is this, that John, for some reason or another, did not see the need of telling about the Lord's Supper part. Now, he showed the divinity of the Lord all throughout that chapter, that book of the Bible. But he, in this chapter, in verse chapter 13, you'll notice in the early part of this chapter that it tells about John, about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's not part of this service today, and that's not part of our sermon today. After that he did that, Jesus said unto them, there is one here that's going to betray me. And what the Bible says, John gives the text of this as saying, he that I give the sop to, it is he that doeth it. And he sopped a piece of bread and he gave it to Judas. Judas had already he'd already told him, the priest and everyone, that for 30 pieces of silver that he would betray the Lord and deliver him unto them. Now, as he did this, Jesus, knowing what was done, Judas left quickly and went out to get the guards or get the people to take Jesus in. As Jesus is talking to them here after this, and I'm going to start with verse 31. Jesus starts a dialogue with his 11 disciples that are remaining. In verse 31, he says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him, speaking about God giving glory unto Jesus himself. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. I want you to notice that word now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. That's reading the remainder of the 13th chapter. That's verses 31 through 38. And this is a beginning of a dialogue that Jesus basically is warning the disciples of what is fixing to happen. Jesus had already told them many times that he was going to die for their sins. He had told them that he was going to come into Jerusalem, and that the people there, that he would be delivered into the hands of the priests and into the hands of the Romans, that he would be scourged, that he would be beaten, that he would die for all men's sins, is basically what he did. He had told them that several times, but now he's getting a little bit more straightforward. He is saying, just a little while, I'm not going to be with you. But then he turns around and he says, but then I'm coming back to be with you again. The main part of our lesson today will have to do with this question. But I want you to notice that there is six different questions by the disciples over the next two chapters. I'm not going very far today in this message. And y'all pray that I don't make a mess out of this message today, because these are questions that we ask from time to time. Peter's question, you might say, Lord, where are you going? And whither are you going? Where are you going? That would have been an easy question for them, because they thought that the Lord was going to be with them forever and evermore. But that wasn't what the plan of God was. So when Peter asked this question, he said, where are you going, Lord, and why can't I go? Two questions here. Why can't I go? Well, first of all, the Lord said, you can't go right now. You've got work to do here. Many times we as God's people, we get in our minds that we want to go on to heaven to be with the Lord. And I don't blame you. I'm the same way. I get word that I want to go on to be with the Lord. Everything's just, well, it's just the world. And I'm ready to go be with God. I'm ready to have the joys of heaven and everything like that. But the Lord is telling us through Peter that it's not time for us to go now. You've got more work to do, is basically what he's saying. Now Peter makes another statement, and basically what he said, Lord, I'll follow thee wherever thou go, wherever it takes me. I'll lay down my life. Well, the Lord turns around and tells him he's fixing to deny him three times before the rooster crows. Now the Lord, in the 14th chapter, starts to answer his question as to where he's going. What he turns around and he says, and I'm going to drop down to verse 2. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. That's the answer to the question, where are you going? Why are you leaving us? I'm going to prepare a place for you, is what he said. Now, if you drop down to verse 5, you get the third question that's asked. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? That's a question that each and every one of us, at one time in our life, we ask that question. Lord, how are we going to know the way? Maybe we asked our parents, how am I going to know when that I am lost, when that I need to get saved? Lord, how am I going to know this? A lot of times the kids will turn around and they'll ask the question, how will I know that I got saved? The best answer that I've ever heard, and I've heard it through several different mothers and fathers, the answer was, you'll know. The answer being, when that you realize that you are a sinner in the sight of God, you'll just know it. And when the Lord takes that burden away from you, you'll know it. But Thomas asked the question, Lord, we don't know the way. How are we going to get there to where you're going? They're thinking in a physical way. That's the way the world is thinking today. They're thinking about worldly matters. They're thinking about, I'm going to church. I'm going to do this good deed. I'm going to do those things. How do I know how to do these things? Thomas asked the question, how will we know the way. He'd already heard the way. Jesus turns around and he makes a very good statement to him that says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way. I believe Thomas was already saved. He already had the promise of eternal life. But like many people today, he is looking at the physical matter that is in front of him. He's looking at the world here that day. He was thinking Jesus was going to walk away from them and go maybe back to Galilee. Maybe he was going to another country or something like that. I'm trying to read his mind, but the Lord is talking about spiritual things here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's nobody going to get to heaven except they come through Jesus. They're not going to get saved unless they come to the truth of Jesus Christ in their life. They're not going to get saved and have eternal life except it come through Jesus himself. Now, he makes the statement. Excuse me. He makes the statement here. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Here's your next question. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, Lord, show us the Father. Now, I'm satisfied that the Lord was a little bit disgusted with his disciples by this time. He'd already told them he's going to die. He'd already told them the suffering that he was going to go through. And they had realized that he was the Son of God. Now, if you're the Son of God, who's your Father? That would have been a natural answer that most people would have given in our day, wouldn't it? If I'm his son, he's my father. But Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That was his answer to them. Today, I want us to realize who Jesus really is. He is the Son of God. That Son of God is the one that came down to this earth and lived some 33 odd years like we do here today. And in that lifetime, he lived a perfect life. He was God here on this earth. He was man here upon this earth. They were joined together in flesh and in spirit, but he lived without sin in that way. And what the disciples were forgetting is that they had saw God the Father through Jesus himself. He said, you saw him. Now, the next question, and this is going to be the main part of the message, and you're like, uh-oh, look out. Judas saith unto him, y'all said right now, I thought Judas left. Now, John says, this is in verse 22, not Iscariot. There was two Judases that were disciples. He said, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? This question came after verse 21 when he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall love my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now, the word manifest is to make yourself known. And what Jesus was fixing to do was really show them who he was. Not just a man that was walking this earth, not just a man that was God's son. They were fixing to have him to be brought to complete light and understanding. Now, granted, it still took the disciples, it took them a little bit to understand all of this that we're talking about today. But the main part of this message today is the fact that Jesus was being manifest not only to them, but to us. And what he did in that question that day, he started to give them understanding of how that he would be manifest in that day. What it says in verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." What he is telling them is how I'm going to manifest is I'm coming inside of you. He goes on a little bit later, and every one of us has heard him talk about the Comforter and how that the Comforter would come in into us and he would enlighten us of the things of God is what he says. And you'll find that in verse 26. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You see, he promised him that Comforter, that Holy Spirit. He said, he's coming to be here with you. Now, when Jesus was coming to them in that day, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, was there. But now he's getting a Holy Spirit of power that's going to be given to them, that's going to enlighten them of all of these things. Now, the term that we use many times in our life is this, is when we come to the knowledge of something and we begin to understand it, maybe the young people don't use this term, but they used to say a light bulb came on. When we go into a room and we flip a light on it in the middle of the night, it's bright, it's brilliant. It opens up a view for us, is what it does. But when we come to the knowledge of the Lord, and I want you to understand something. When you get saved, you come to a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You come to a knowledge of your salvation, but it should never stop in that place. It should be continuing to grow and to be nourished by the grace of God, continuing to work in you and continuing to lead you in his paths of righteousness and in his paths of his knowledge. Notice again that 26th verse. He said he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, mainly, he was talking to 11 men here. But why did John write this down? He wrote it down for our benefit, that we might have knowledge. After Jesus' crucifixion and after his resurrection, John makes a statement in the final chapter of John. And that statement is this: all of these things were written that you might believe. That is his statement to them at that time. All of these things are made that you might believe. Remember these things. The Spirit's going to help you to remember these things. Well, it'd be easy just to say, well, we're saved and we've got that knowledge. But now the Spirit is going to help you to remember these things. Now, when we get into the Lord's Supper, and I told them this Wednesday night as we studied this, the one phrase that I probably repeat more than any other part of the Lord's Supper service is this. And Jesus was the one that made the statement, as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. What are you doing when you remember the Lord? You're making a light for somebody else. When you partake of the Lord's Supper and you take that piece of bread and you remember his body and its brokenness in that day, when all of that comes together in your mind, what does that do for your heart, your mind, your soul? It manifests it inside of you is what it does. And what he's trying to tell us is when we're partaking of this, we are to keep this in remembrance. Now, I believe from what I read in the scriptures, when John is writing this dialogue that Jesus is having with his disciples, he's done instituted the Lord's Supper. So he is reminding them all of these things are going to be a remembrance unto you by the Spirit of God. Now, let's move right on over into the 16th chapter. There was a lot said, wasn't there? In that last few hours. I don't know how long this dialogue went on with them, but there was a sixth question that was get asked. And this time it was not just one person that did. You'll find in the 16th chapter in the 17th verse, and then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. Now, you might say, well, what's this got to do with all of this today? Remember, Jesus had made this statement in our reading lesson there. I believe it's in verse 33 is where he makes this statement. He actually makes it, I think, two more times during this dialogue with them. But what he does in talking about this in this day is, what are you talking about, Lord? Remember, these were men that were used to having Jesus right there in their presence, and they could go to him all the time. If you'll go back over that 15th and 16th chapter, Jesus makes the statement several times. All you've got to do is ask me and you will receive it. That's what he said. A lot of times we say that as far as sinners are concerned. Just ask the Lord and you'll receive it. I agree, you will if you have faith. You will have salvation. If you believe within your heart, he will save your soul. But he was talking to the church here. He was talking to saved people. If you'll ask, you'll receive these things. So they was having a hard time understanding why he was going away, and then he'd be back with them. Now, in hindsight, we look at it, we know what happened. We know Jesus died and that he rose again. But you put yourself in the place of Peter, James, John, Thomas, Philip. Put yourself in the place of them. Lord, you've been here with us all this time. What do you mean you're going away? Surely we can't do anything without you. They'd been sent out twice, I know of. One time it was just the 12, and they went out preaching and doing miracles and such as that. Later on, he sent 70 out. They went out two by two, and they had preached the gospel unto the people. They had done wonderful works in the eyes of the people, preparing these people that they might hear the word of God through Jesus himself. They had done these things, but in their minds, just like we are, Lord, how can I do this? Lord, how can I stand up for you? How can I tell people about your love? How can I do these things without you? Just know that he is always there. His spirit is right there with you. And that spirit is going to help you in these times. And when you think you do not have the right words. Now, I haven't talked about Charlie Kirk very much, but I'm going to tell you, that man had a quick mind. People could bring up a subject to him and he could answer them. Boy, I wished I had that quick of mind. I'll give him that. But the thing about it is, God's spirit is quick in you. And God will help you in those times. But they didn't understand what he was saying. What was he telling them? I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise up. I'm going to come out of that grave. And if you'll go through those scriptures, you'll find where that he told them, you'll go with me. Remember he told Peter that? You can come later. But there he said, I'm going to rise and you will too. That's God's promise. That's God's promise to us. He said, what is this that you say that we're not with you? What are you talking about, Lord, in that day? He's telling them, I'm giving my body for you. I'm giving my blood for you. And I'm going to go away. How long did he go away for? 3 days and three nights, right? And then he was right back with them. We don't have Jesus in front of us today, do we? That's why it's important for us to remember. I got a question for you. How many of you's got a loved one that's died, gone on? How many of you's got a photo of them that you pull out every once in a while and you look at? Maybe it's sitting on a mantle. Maybe it's sitting on a chair somewhere. But you remember them in that moment in time. Sometimes you look at that picture and you'll remember a time that was joyful in your heart. Maybe it was a time when that they hugged you a little bit more than others. Maybe it was a time in which that they taught you a good lesson. Maybe it was a time in which that you remembered the love that they had for you. The love you had for them. This today is about us having a remembrance. What do we remember today? Our Sunday school lesson today was from the Songs of Solomon. And it talked about a love that the bridegroom had for his bride. I think all of us that have had that special woman in our life, all of us men, can remember that very plainly, can't we? We know that love. We know how that God has dealt with us in those days. We remember those things. Today in this service, we are to remember what our Lord did for us. Can you remember what the Lord did for you? You know, that kind of sounds like I was asking the children, wasn't it? Do we remember how he was whipped and how he was beaten? Do we remember those things? Do we remember how that his love was so great that he carried a cross from Pilate's hall up to Golgotha's hill? Do we remember how that when he was on his way up there, people were cursing him? People were laughing at him. It doesn't say it in the scripture, but my understanding is it was nothing uncommon for people to take rotten fruit and vegetables and throw it at them as they went through, meant to humiliate them. Do you remember how that when he got to Golgotha, he laid his hands down and they nailed him there? Then they nailed his feet together and they stood him up on a cross to die there. Do you remember that suffering that he had in that day? In this day, our message today mainly was about the manifestation of the Lord. He said, I'm going to manifest myself to you. I think those disciples were all standing at a distance. It tells us that the women were there, and John was there, we know for sure. I think all of them were standing at a little distance. But they saw the power of God in that day. Have you remembered how that it went dark for 3 hours? Complete blackness upon the earth? That ought to have been a warning to them of what they were seeing. And as they were doing all of these things, Jesus was dying for our sins. He was giving his body for us. We have the unleavened bread here today. It represents his sinless body, is what it represents today. The Bible says that when Jesus gave them the Lord's Supper, one of the Gospels said that he blessed it. I can't bless it. I'm not that great. I can give a blessing and thank, but mainly I give thanks for it today. The other two Gospels said that he gave thanks for it. Let us give thanks today, not only for this bread of remembrance, but let us give thanks for Jesus himself. Let us pray. Scripture said, he said, take and drink all of it, is what he said. They passed the cup around, and they separated it for each other. Again, he made the statement, do this in remembrance of me. For this is my blood, which is given for you. In the book of Revelation, John says, without that blood, it is by the washing of the blood that you're saved. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, and I should say even before he died, there was men that struck him. I can remember being hit as a kid, boxing and such. And there was times there was a little bit of blood that came forth. But we find that they took sticks to him and hit him. The blood may not have come completely out, but you know what bruising is. But we find that when Jesus went unto Herod, that Herod scourged him. And that was a whip. And it was fixed that it would tear the skin. And when he was whipped there, the scripture says that you couldn't even tell who he was, basically. But blood flowed from him. I'm satisfied as he carried the cross up to Calvary's hill that there was still blood flowing from him. And I'm satisfied there's many people today that thinks that that was such a gruesome story that we shouldn't even mention it. But all of that suffering was that I might be saved, that you might be saved. All of that time that he carried that, no doubt blood flowed from his body. And when he got to the cross and they nailed him to there, there was blood that flowed. There was blood that flowed down his back and from his body while hanging on the cross. I usually refer to this because I want to make the point. Many people say that Jesus spilled his blood. Now, if you look up the definition to spilled, that means it was an accident. Nobody took Jesus' life. Nobody took his blood. He gave it all for you and I. Today, as we take of the fruit of the vine, it is to cause us to remember his blood. It is to be in our minds the blood that he shed for us. Keep that on your heart. Again, we'll ask you to stand. Again, it is for the church members that you are to take of this. But if you are of a church of like faith and order, you can partake with us. We invite you to do so. As the brethren pass among you, please stand once again. Yes, I need Brother Lanny. Brother Lanny, hold off a second. I did get ahead of myself. I did not bless it. Thank you, Brother Tom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your many blessings. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and mercies upon us. I thank you for men like Brother Tom that called us as we got out of order, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you send people to us, dear Lord, at times, dear Lord, to help us to remember to do things right. Dear God, I ask your blessings, dear Lord, upon this fruit of the vine today, dear Lord, that Heavenly Father, that it will remind us of your blood. Dear Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you saw fit to give your Son, that he might give his life for us, that he might give the evidence, dear Lord, of his death. That, Lord, that he took that blood all the way to heaven, right up into your temple, dear God, and he proved, dear God, that he gave his life for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for these many blessings today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the mercies that you allow your people, dear Lord. That, Heavenly Father, that even when we sin here upon this earth, Lord, you're ready to forgive. Dear God, I pray that you would bless and lead us, dear Lord, in all your many ways. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for these many blessings today, dear God. Heavenly Father, we ask your leadership, dear God, upon each and every one here. Lord, bring to their remembrance the blood that you shed for them. In thy holy Son's name we do pray. Amen. As the brethren pass among you, we'll ask you to remember our Lord at this time.